CBSI in the World with Malcolm Holine, Conference of Presidents, Major American Jewish Organizations, and the Israeli elections. The Groundhog Day elections over these last years may have come to a momentary halt because a new government is forming. It is not Netanyahu so far. And we welcome Gil Hoffman, Chief Political Correspondent, Analyst for the Jerusalem Post, to help us understand how this works, all these voices, all these ideas, and do they come together in a new government post-Netanyahu? Gil, I'm going to turn this to Malcolm Holine because he's recently visited you in Israel and has wider knowledge. All I know is Malcolm's taught me, if you get to 61, you're okay. If you don't get to 61, you're not. Go ahead, Malcolm.
That's pretty much the answer. But, Gil, thank you for coming on. And I wanted to ask you, Lapid and Bennett are set to swear in a wide unity government on Sunday. Number one, do you think that it will actually take place? And how fragile is it, given the wide disparity between the positions of these parties?
Malcolm and John, I believe since the election results were announced back at the end of March, that Netanyahu's time was done, that he did not succeed in getting the majority that he required in order to stay in power, and that the rest of the political spectrum would unite in one way or another in order to bring him down after having four elections in 2.5 years, because the people of Israel would not tolerate there being another one. And sure enough, that has happened. We're almost there. Sunday night is going to be the big vote. And I personally don't know of anything that Netanyahu can do to stop it. John, you had on your show Aaron Klein, Netanyahu's senior advisor, and he still seems to be playing the I know something you don't know game about there being some kind of last-minute surprise. And with Netanyahu, you can never count out a last-minute surprise. I don't see how it can be done. To answer the second part of your question, Malcolm, yes, it's a very, very diverse coalition, and that makes it very fragile. All you need is one member of Knesset to rebel, and the whole tower crumbles down. But then again, they do have glue, and that glue is what brought them together, which is this hatred of Netanyahu. That'll still be there because Netanyahu will be right there in your face as the opposition leader. And as long as he's there, they have a reason to stay together.
Gil, to teach a little bit of the civics of Israel's voting, the 61 I referred to perhaps too quickly, it's necessary to maintain 61 votes in favor of the sitting government. And going forward, that would be the ambition. However, this is a uniting of parties and men and ideologies that have never heretofore demonstrated common purpose. Is that something new for them? Are they talking about common purpose beyond Netanyahu's departure?
John, yes, you need 61 out of 120 to be able to accomplish anything. Technically, you can have a smaller majority later on, but definitely for the first vote of confidence, you actually need to have that majority of 61. There is plenty that they do agree on. They agree on security. They agree for the most part on the economy. Everyone agrees that COVID-19 is bad. That's a basis for a government right there. The rest, they've been reaching compromises on in order to be ready during the coalition talks that have been taking place over the last couple months that need to be wrapped up by Friday afternoon Israel time in order to be able to form that government on Sunday.
And what about the unique aspect that you have an Arab party, an Islamist party, theoretically, though the more moderate of the north and south division between the Islamist parties? How is this likely to change the course of the coalition's functioning? And does it say something in light of the riots that took place by Arabs in some of the mixed communities just a week ago, 2 weeks ago?
Okay, so let me take you back a little bit before that. The basis for the Ra'am party of Mansour Abbas joining the government is actually the Abraham Accords of Donald Trump, because that changed the paradigm in the Middle East and inside Israel itself. In the Middle East, the United Arab Emirates and Bahrain said, why are we waiting for the Israeli-Palestinian conflict to be solved to formalize relations with Israel, a top economic power in the region and the country closest to the United States? Why should our people suffer with not having these agreements in order to help the Palestinians when their leadership isn't making the sacrifices necessary to help their own people? And after that happened, then Mansour Abbas said, well, if they have those relations with Dubai, why don't we have them here in Nazareth? Well, our people have been suffering too because our leadership has been waiting for the Israeli-Palestinian conflict to be solved. Because of that, have not joined coalition governments in Israel where the spoils are divided up by the parties in the coalition. And so Mansour Abbas was committed to joining any government that would be formed, no matter how right-wing. And there was skepticism on the right of him, just like there has been of any Arab party from the beginning of Israel's history. And one of the times that he was proven was during the rioting that took place in mixed cities, where Mansour Abbas made a point of visiting Lod, the city by the airport that has Jews and Arabs together. He went with the Likud mayor to the synagogue there that had been vandalized, and then he passed every test, not only for the consensus in Israel, but actually for the Israeli right. And I know the American right is very worried about him still, the American Jewish right. You should know the Israeli right over here, very, very right-wing people, think that Mansour Abbas is a very, very positive phenomenon for the future of Israel.
Gil, right now, looking forward, the Gaza war recently concluded, the most recent Gaza conflict. Did that influence this coalition coming together, or is it that is an independent event? It's just coincidence at the same weeks.
Look, with Netanyahu, nothing's a coincidence, but I'm not a believer in the wag the dog phenomenon. I don't think Netanyahu started a war on purpose in an effort to stay in power, as some people do. Hamas started this war by firing at Jerusalem. I was there in the Knesset and had to run for cover, and it was scary. What happened was it delayed the negotiations that there would have been, and it put everything on hold. It made Naftali Bennett have to lie for a couple of weeks and say he's not going to form a government that will replace Netanyahu because it would have been unpopular during a war. But in the end, everything got right back on track after the operation ended, and the impact of that operation on Israeli politics ended up being zero.
We have a minute, Malcolm.
So what do you think is Bibi's future, Netanyahu's future as a leader of the opposition? Will he be able to retain the Likud as it is, or the challenges to his leadership emerge?
So I'm speaking here from the Tel Aviv fairgrounds where there was a rally of Nir Barkat, former Jerusalem mayor, who sees himself as a future Likud leader. He made a point of praising Netanyahu. I don't know of any Likud leader who would dare challenge Netanyahu right now. He's going to be the leader of the opposition. He's going to be the candidate for prime minister from Likud and the Israeli right in the next election. He's a young man, only 71 years old. His father died at the age of 102. The only thing that could bring him down is a conviction. And we'll see what happens in court.
Finally, Gil, right now, measure, is there relief? 20 seconds. Is there relief that there won't be another election? Do people smile?
Oh, please, God. You know, I don't have a political opinion here. I've been doing this for 20 years and not never taken a side. The side I'll take is I deserve to relax a little bit after working off for 2.5 years.
Gil Hoffman, chief political correspondent, Jerusalem Post, Malcolm Holman, Conference of Presidents. I'm John Batcher, CBS Eye on the World.
Stay tuned for more of CBS Eye on the World with John Batcher.